cybersecurity? There's a ton of content out there, and if you don't know where to start, it can be overwhelming, even paralyzing. So let's fix that. Welcome to Simply Cyber, a community of tens of thousands of aspiring and active cybersecurity professionals focused on networking, knowledge sharing, and professional development. I'm Dr. Gerald Osher, Chief Content Creator at Simply Cyber, inviting you to get the answers to your cybersecurity problems with hundreds of cybersecurity videos answering your frequently asked questions, interviewing industry experts, and live streaming daily cyber threat briefings hosted by me. Now get the stories and insights you won't find anywhere else. Hit subscribe now and dig into all the fresh content on the channel and in the community. Nothing should stop you from launching and leveling up your cybersecurity career today. All right, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. Today is March 18th. It is Monday, coming to you live from Phoenix, 5 a.m. on the Pacific Standard Time. So all you Cali folks, you Colorado folks, and you Phoenix, Scottsdale, Arizona folks, I'm right there with you, brother. Woo! All right, I'm going to try to be a little quieter than normal, just given that I'm in a hotel and probably people are next door, like, nursing a hangover and being like, who's this guy doing a TV show outside my door? All right, guys. Hey, welcome to Simply Cyber's Daily Cyber Threat Briefing. I am your host, Dr. Gerald Osher. And over the next 45 minutes, me, you, Abdullah Niazi, Sharice Lamb, Robert Cooper, KP, DP, probably somewhere in chat I haven't seen yet, but KP's here. I'm thinking DP's up in here. Kenya Izzo, Alan Escobar, Matthew Necci, straight crushing it, Matthew Necci, I might add, with the job. Z-Myth, Marcus Kyler, the Yeet Crew. I've got a limited soundboard, but we do have the Yeet Crew. Woo! Folks over on LinkedIn like Vladimir Rodriguez, folks over on YouTube like Laura Flores, squad members like Carrie and GL coming in hot. We're all going to be shredding the top cybersecurity news stories of the day. Hold on, says the mic's a little low. All right, let's get the mic. Let's juice the mic. I just juiced the mic. Just to share a little inside secret with everybody, somehow I've routed the mic monitor in my headphones to the mic gain on this microphone, so as I turn the microphone up, I'm further causing my ears to bleed. But these are cans, so the blood is contained in there, so you guys won't have to be subjected to the horror that is what's going on in my eardrums right now. Guys, before we get into the top cyber news stories and I shred your faces with unbelievable stories of truth and tales from the trenches, I do want to say shout out and thanks to the stream sponsors who make it possible for me to bring this to you, whether it's in the studio in the country or it's the Grand Sinesta here in Scottsdale, starting with my good friend Eric Taylor and the crew over at Barricade Cyber Solutions. I am on the mobile setup, so it's a hot mess express. Sounds a little low, a little loud. Oh, Jesus. Okay, so cut the baby in half here. Is that what we're going to do? All right, I just goosed it down. Simply Cyber community, if you're a first timer here, please bear with us. If you're a long timer here, you know the routine on these mobile shoots here. Shout out to Barricades. By the way, I got in it after midnight local time, and it's 4, 5. I don't know. I didn't sleep well. You could see like my face. All right, Barricade Cyber Solutions, guys. Really quickly, did you know Barricade Cyber Solutions is dedicated to helping businesses from cyber attacks and recover from the damage done? Cyber attacks can cause massive issues for businesses and send dedicated, hardworking business owners into turmoil. But Barricade Cyber Solutions knows how to mitigate the damage done by cyber incidents. Believe that. Check them out at barricadecyber.com. Links in the description below. Also want to give a shout out and love to Panopsi Security. Get a partner who understands your cybersecurity program and your business goals. Listen, guys, I know budgets are tight right now, so if you want to get the most, you know, return on your investment for your information security budget dollars, whether you're a small business who's getting $600 a week for a budget to work with, which is not a lot, right? What's that, like, you know, 70 grand a year or something for your entire information security budget, or no, 30 grand a year for your entire information security budget, dude, get a partner who can work with your business to understand how can we drive the greatest value of cyber risk reduction, regardless of what your resources are, what your leadership is like, what your current information security program maturity level is. That's what Panopsi does. Panopsi Security, Brandon Poole, P-O-O-L-E. You can get them on LinkedIn. They know exactly how to enable risk reduction, which is really what the name of the game is here in information security or cybersecurity if you got less gray in your beard. Panopsi.com. Thank you, Brandon Poole and the team over there. Also want to say love to Anti-Siphon Training. If you are taking John Strand's SOC core skills today at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, let us know in chat. I'd love to know who's taking it. If you are taking it, definitely drop a Simply Cyber Raid or do a roll call. There it is. Getting started with security and Black Hills and MITRE ATT&CK. This course is today. You can still, well, registration may be closed at this point, but I'm telling you, super hot, so cool. Love what Anti-Siphon's doing, but more about them at the mid-roll. I digress. I started late because of all the nonsense. Guys, I've got windows on windows. This is like a Windows murder factory, what's going on here. I've got very little real estate visually, so things are getting covered. All right. Every single episode of the Daily Cyber Threat Briefing, just like this one, I want you to know a couple things. One, I do not research or prepare. Ain't nobody got time for that, right? So you're just getting my rough, rugged 20 years of experience, hot takes on all these things. And many of you who are experienced in the industry are dropping your hot takes too, which I genuinely appreciate. BSEC in chat always dropping his takes. I also want to let you know, did you know each episode of the Daily Cyber Threat Brief is worth half a CPE? So be sure to say what's up in chat. Grab a screenshot, hashtag TeamSC if you're a regular here. If you're enjoying the mobile setup, let us know. Hashtag TeamSC in chat. If you're a first timer, hashtag first timer in chat. We love saying what's up. And I've got a special. I think Gary Sturgiadis and Nick Barker will be the happiest with this. The mobile soundboard does not have a welcome to the party, pal sound effect because we implemented that since I last traveled and the board isn't updated yet. So you will be getting a manual welcome to the party, pal sound effect. So enjoy that. Welcome back to the party, Joel Belton. Good to have you in town. Let's see. Do I have a Carl sound effect though? Oh, okay. All right. So we do have limited sound effects. What's up, Team SC? Thanks, guys. In it together. Remember, it's Monday, so Space Taco loves the manuals. Listen, it's Monday, which means we're going to recognize one community member of the Simply Cyber community at the mid-roll, and we will be jaw-jacking at the end. So let me take a slug of this Starbucks Via. I've got my portable water cooker thing, but not my French press. So I'm slumming it here with Starbucks Via. All right, guys, do me a favor, sit back, relax. And let's let the cool sounds of the hot news wash over all of us in an awesome wave. I will see you on this rickety, you know, taking on water vessel that is Simply Cyber Mobile Roadshow. Let's go.
Pace, and that 60% of the phishing domains exist for less than 10 minutes.
From the CISO series, it's Cybersecurity Headlines.
These are the cybersecurity headlines for Monday, March 18th, 2024. I'm Steve Prentice. Global McDonald's outage blamed on third-party vendor and not a cyber attack. A massive outage affected point-of-sale terminals in McDonald's outlets in the United States, the UK, Japan, Australia, Canada, the Netherlands, Italy, and New Zealand on Saturday. The cause, according to a statement shared by the company's chief information officer, Brian Rice, was a third-party service provider's configuration change and not a cyber attack. The outage forced stores to revert to pen and paper to take orders and to take all transactions in cash. The issue has been mostly restored, but no explanation of the specifics of the outage has yet been made.
Okay. All right. So, a couple things here. One, you know, guys, get someone notify Neil Bridges. Third-party risk is a real risk that needs to be controlled and at least accounted for when you're doing your kind of like business impact analysis, your business continuity. McDonald's could have done everything right here, everything right, and they're still down. And this is interesting because, like, you know, it's kind of like manufacturing, right? Manufacturing gets hit hard. If their systems go down, retail is no different, right? They are producing product, but they need to take money, right? They're not going to give product unless they take money. And going on pen and paper is absurd. Like, a lot of people, just with, no shade. Like, if trying to count change, like, oh, it's, 8:53 and you give them a 10 and they're like, ah, right? So there's tons of opportunity for massive fraud to go on. There's tons of opportunity for people to not purchase because, I don't know about you, but I very, very seldomly carry cash on me. It's like we live in a cashless society pretty much right now. And yes, I know Justin Gold and Charles Finfrock are probably jumping up and down right now going, see, I told you, should have taken Bitcoin, McDonald's, should have took Monero or Ethereum, and you could have got your Hamburglar, Big Mac, and chicken nugget meal or whatever. But let's take it back for a second. McDonald's third party brings it down. The CIO must have had his butthole puckered when this thing came through. It says configuration change. They obviously changed it back. Let me tell you a couple things here really quickly. All right. There's nothing that you can do to fully eliminate risk. Okay. So period. Like put that in ink, put it in stone, get it tattooed across your knuckles. You can never get rid of all risk. Okay. There will always be residual risk or you're just not up. So all we can do is be resilient, right? Cyber resiliency, not security. So with configuration change, which I might add is one of the NIST 853 domains or control families, configuration management, CM family, it often gets a lot of shade, like so much shade that like it can get moon burn. Its skin is that sensitive because it gets no light, right? Configuration management, people shadow. So, ooh, do I, oh, sorry, Kennedy. People crap on configuration management, change control, because you've got the long in the tooth 25-year IT person who's like, I don't need to put in a change control, brah. Like, I've got this, like, just get out of my way. And, things, they'll only put big changes through, like, oh, we're gonna cut over to like a new environment or we're gonna turn a new site online. And those, yes, those are big changes and should be done through more of a project management thing. But for something like this, dude, somebody made a change somewhere. It could have been a network engineer so packets couldn't flow. It could have been applying a new firmware to the POS system. And instead of doing it in a vulnerability management, deployment ring, the engineer's like, oh man, just YOLO, this thing's awesome, and just hit the button and it deployed it to all the McDonald's everywhere and bricked a bunch of them, maybe because of, like regional changes or language changes, or you couldn't upgrade from version 3 to f like you had to go from 3 to 4, and maybe a whole bunch of technology was version 2 and he pushed it to go from 2 to 4. You see what I'm saying? There's all sorts of fringe things that can happen. So but they've outsourced. Now they say third party. I might want to add this was probably just hired IT as a third party. So like calling it third party, it can oftentimes be like, it's really details of contracts, right? Like maybe McDonald's has hired this third party MSP to be their IT provider in Japan or in insert country here instead of having them on staff. It's very, very common, especially for large companies to outsource like that. But that MSP probably has been, could have been McDonald's IT provider for a decade, right? So saying it is third party doesn't necessarily always mean it's some like Jack and Jill you've never met who just showed up on the scene with like a brand new fresh Best Buy laptop and no clue what they're doing, okay? But TLDR, configuration change, one of the best parts about a configuration change, any change control ticket, if you ever see a change control ticket, if you're ever on a cab, a change advisory board, you need to have a rollback plan. If things get dorked up, what do we do? How do we roll back, right? If that isn't there, that's a big red flag. If they haven't tested the rollback plan, second red flag, okay? Because every once in a while, crap like this happens. And dude, this costs McDonald's. Again, McDonald's has franchises, so they diffuse the impact a bit. But this costs McDonald's, I bet you, millions of dollars. Millions of dollars. Hold on, can I do a control? Hold on 1 second. I only got one hand because this. I'm kind of curious if there's a dollar symbol in this story. Nope, it's just another story for receipt or ransomware. Okay, so anyways, TLDR. Be careful with Carl.
Google adds real-time URL protection for Chrome. This is an upgrade to their safe browsing feature that helps users avoid potentially malicious sites. The difference being that the Chrome browser has been using a locally stored list of known unsafe sites that is updated every 30 to 60 minutes, and then leveraging a hash-based approach to compare every site visited against the database. The reason for going real-time, the company says, is that the list of harmful websites is growing at a rapid pace, and that 60% of the phishing domains exist for less than 10 minutes, making them difficult to block.
Wow. Oh, wow. I feel like I need that, oh my god, oh my god, Luke, who's the guy, Owen Wilson, like, where he's like, wow, I think I might need that, sound, I think I might need that sound effect, guys. Okay, so check it out. So, malicious webs, they said domains are up for 10 minutes or less. Dude, a domain costs $25 to register. You're pissing these things away six in an hour. I mean, I'm not saying that's not nothing, but that is gonna add up. That's gonna add up after a while. That's right. But I mean, I guess if they're scoring tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars, it's worth doing. The one thing I would want to ask is one. I'm gonna try this out. This Google. Thank you very much, Casually Joseph. I'm gonna try this out. Here we go. Can we bring this on screen? Doink. Thank you, Casually Joseph. Wow. Okay, so thank you. So real-time URL protection for Chrome users. Here's my question, right? You might ask yourself, because I sure as would, why would this not be the case already? Like, why are we opting into this now? Like, it seems like we'd want this all the time. A couple things. Whenever you introduce real-time anything or high-performance things, there's usually some type of trade-off. I'll give you a perfect example. Asymmetric encryption is way more powerful and way more secure than symmetric encryption. However, it has way more performance burden and resource consumption, right, than symmetric. So there's a trade-off. With this right, whoops, not mirrored. With this right here, I'm suspecting that there is some type of performance trade-off. So when you turn this thing on, watch your processor. You can turn into your favorite IT server administrator and complain about a security feature consuming too much resources and bringing your server down. I'll check this out. I'd recommend that you, if you are a Google user, that you investigate this. It makes me wonder. I don't research these stories in advance, so I don't know if this is something you have to opt into, configure, or turn on, or if it's enabled by default and you don't have a choice. So, yeah. Oh, here it is right here. Not all devices have the resources to maintain the growing list, nor are they always able to receive and apply updates, right? So, as you try to do something, the URL will be checked against the browser's global and local caches containing known safe URLs. Got a little infographic here. Very nice. Let me look at this really quickly, because there is one thing that's... this camera's following me, bro. It's awesome. There's one thing that you should know about here. It's only going to check it if it's not in a localized cache, meaning like you're the first person to find the website, right? So like Threat Actor spins up new infrastructure, sends a bunch of phishing emails. You're the first person to click on it. Google's going to check to see if it's already checked it. And if it hasn't, it's going to check it. You're going to be the person who basically gets to take the test drive on the new plane. So this is really cool. I love this. And from a privacy perspective, you may be like, wait a minute, I don't want Google to know where I'm going or what websites I'm visiting. Spoiler alert, if you use Chrome, they they already do. Spoiler, if you're using other browsers, I don't know the exact implementation of this, but Google, like, most DNSs, right, they route back at some point to Google DNS, even if you're, like, using your local ISP and stuff. Like, Google can basically blot out any website on the internet if it really wanted to. Obviously, with great power comes great responsibility, so they would probably get some bad pub, especially if they did it to, like, I don't know, Bing. But you get what I'm saying. Like, Google is in the background. You know, like, La Cosa Nostra, like the mafia and the puppet from the Godfather movie, right? That, like, Google's manipulating the strings up there. They've got access to all the data, all the good data.
Network outages hit Birmingham, Alabama. A week after a network disruption forced city employees to go back to pen and paper and cash transactions, the city has provided no updates on the situation or explained what caused the outage. Essential services, including garbage pickup and 911, remain fully operational, and employees have received promises that they will be paid. Also, officials are denying reports that data may have been stolen. According to ransomware expert Brett Callow, at least 19 governments and agencies across the U.S. have been impacted by ransomware so far in 2024.
Okay, hold on. Birmingham, up in here. Birmingham, let's see. Outages limiting government services more than a week after a network disruption. More than a week? Okay, and they're saying it's not a cybersecurity incident. Okay, I might call shenanigans. I've said this on the story, on the pod before. When you say the word incident, that's okay. When you say the word breach, that's when a clock starts and you cannot unwind the clock. Okay, you can't stop the clock. Lawyers get involved, insurance companies get involved, people get deployed, people like CIO or you know other people may lose the ability to execute on work. So you've got to be like, I don't know if this is a straight up, liability management kind of decision right here, but dude, the fact that they're down for a week, the fact that they're only taking cash transactions, that's not McDonald's, pushing a change into the environment and having some, you know, network engineer accidentally dork something up with BGP or some type of routing, right? This is straight up, you are down. They announced it on March 6th. Today is March 18th, so 12 days ago. Not good. And they're providing no updates on the situation. Also, a hideous look. Dude, if it wasn't cybercrime, they would be out there like pointing to, whoever. Is Birmingham where Alabama football plays? I'm terrible with college football. I live in the South, and I'm a pro football person, so I'm definitely out of my element. Dude, this camera, I feel like I'm playing games with the camera. Okay, so here's... Oh, I forgot about this. Yes. So, hey, here's the deal really quickly. I forgot about this. So, two things. One, don't get confused. Alabama, the state of Alabama's OIT... reported being attacked by anonymous Sudan's distributed denial of service, or anonymous Sudan took credit for attacking Alabama and bringing down lots of their services. State and local municipalities, guys, if you work for a state and local municipality, you know damn well that you are in the crosshairs and that you are basically, I don't want to say run naked, but definitely in trouble. Priceless Pancake with a super chat. Did we just become best friends? Hold on one second.
Did we just become best friends?
Yep. Thank you very much, Priceless Pancake, for the super chat. I thought my visit to Bomb Sunday was more chaotic. Is Bomb in Vietnam? Let me know in chat. I feel like Bomb is in Vietnam. Tuscaloosa. Thank you, Marcus Kyler. Okay, so check it out. Here's the deal. State and local municipality. If you work for state and local municipality, you know that you are exposed. You know that you're at risk. If you were a CIO of a state and local municipality, I don't know how you sleep, frankly. I mean, I work in cybersecurity, and I know where the bodies are buried, and I sleep, but not a lot. With this level of risk exposure, dude, this is like literally like you're storing kerosene in your kitchen and just being like, this is fine, right? Like, this is not fine. Like, this is absolutely sketch. And Birmingham, Alabama is just another one to feel the heat. I'm going to just do the squad emote. This is fine. Let's keep going. And ask me at Jawjack, and if you guys are interested, I really think I got something really cool to share with you guys about the anonymous Sudan attack on Alabama. Something that I think is really cool. If you guys want to hear it, just remind me at Jawjack, and I'm happy to.
Hackers exploit WordPress pop-up builder plugin.
Need more coffee.
At least 7,100 sites may have been affected by a vulnerable version of the pop-up builder WordPress plugin. According to Security Affairs, researchers at Sucuri noticed in December that the Balada injector campaign had started infecting websites that were using older versions of the pop-up builder, which has a CVE number of 2023-6000 and a CVSS score of 8.8. The vulnerability comes from the fact that visitors to a site are able to update existing pop-ups and, if so inclined, to inject raw JavaScript in them, which could lead to stored cross-site scripting attacks. Users of sites are, of course, urged to upgrade immediately, but Sucuri calls this a short-term fix and says they will also need to, quote, scan their website at the client and server level to find any hidden website backdoors, end quote.
Right, okay. So a couple of things here. One, Sucuri actually does have a really cool scanner. I haven't used it in a while. If someone's got thoughts on that in chat, holler. But Sucuri does have a really cool scanner, or they used to. Next, we're talking about WordPress plugins. Okay, guys, here's the deal. This pop builder thing, everybody who has a WordPress site, people love toggling on plugins. It's like installing, like my kids installing apps in the App Store, right? But no one goes back and disables the plugin. So you've got to have that practice. I know it's a wicked pain in the butt. I know it sucks. But the reality is you get these websites that are basically vulnerable and can get exploited. These particular ones, here's the TLDR. If you are running WordPress, whether you know it or not, definitely do an external scan of your network and find out. Also do an internal scan if you want to take it to the next level. And look for this particular vulnerability. One thing you may not know is that vulnerability scanners, you can configure them to, thanks for the sub, Adrian. Vulnerability scanners, it's not just like scan the entire network for all the things. You can literally configure them to look for just one CVE. You can configure them to look at just one type of technology. You can configure them to look at just one IP address, right? But in this case, what you should do is get a vulnerability scanner, look for either, I wouldn't look for just the CVE because who knows what kind of nasty, gnarly situation you got with these WordPress things, but scan and look for WordPress, right? Look for WordPress server instances, etc. Threat actors can use the internet and Shodan in these type of services to find your external networks assets, right? Your WordPresses, and find out if you're running this pop-up builder. If a threat actor can do it pretty quickly and pretty easily, then you should be doing it also, because obviously the risk exposure is high, because when you're like breaking it down to day two, day one is CIA triad, day two, risk is likelihood times impact, okay? Welcome to the party, pal. The likelihood is wicked high, okay? You're definitely in that top part of the magic quadrant, right? And the impact is getting darker red as we go. And if a website, just because it's Carl's bake sale website, right? Like, oh, like the marketing department set it up as a little gas. Like, ooh, just a little fun WordPress site. What's the big deal, Jerry? Get off my back. The point is, it can be weaponized into a pivot and used for lateral movement. If it's connected to your corporate network, guess what? You ever heard of like a bastion host or like a forward operating base or whatever? Don't give the threat actors a foothold in your environment, period. There's no reason to, just because you don't want to disable a plugin that you didn't even want to use or whatever. So be mindful of that. And then secondly, and this, I feel like this is like a relatively newer best practice, not a relatively new best practice. It's becoming more meta and more mainstream that people do this, okay? Like across all levels, like people who have been in the industry a while were already doing this. But what they said was when you find, like, let's say that you get off the stream today and you do a scan and you're like, holy shit, we have one of these things and it's got a pop-up builder and it can be compromised. So you call, who's going to be the pop-up builder person today? DreamLogic. I call DreamLogic on the phone. Listen, DL, because DreamLogic and I go back like Spinal Tap. Little Jurassic 5 reference there, Charlie Tuna. Okay, so DreamLogic and I go back like Spinal Tap. So I just call DreamLogic on the phone. I'm like, listen, get rid of this WordPress plugin. This thing's a hot mess express, or patch it or whatever. You gotta patch it, right? And DreamLogic's like, oh, I totally forgot about that. I'll just take the whole server down. I'm like, okay, cool. Like, psh, high five. But it could have been exploited. And the only way that you would know if it's exploited is going and looking for those indicators of compromise, specifically looking for those persistence mechanisms that this particular threat actor who's being actively seen compromising these hosts is installing. So it's possible, and this is another thing about our industry, it's possible that a different threat actor is using it and a different threat actor is installing a different persistent mechanism. So you can't disprove a negative. You can't be certain unless you tear the entire infrastructure down and rebuild it, which you can't do. You can only, you know, basically do a best effort and confirm or deny whether or not the known persistence mechanisms that are being installed are not installed. And if they are, you have to get rid of those and wipe those machines and rebuild those as well. So that's what's up. All right. No offense, DL. Thanks for volunteering.
And now a word from our sponsor, Vanta. From dozens of spreadsheets and screenshots to fragmented tools and manual security reviews, managing the requirements for modern compliance and security programs is increasingly challenging. Vanta is the leading trust management platform that helps you centralize your efforts to establish trust and enable growth across your organization. Over 6,000 companies partner with Vanta to automate compliance, strengthen security posture, streamline security reviews, and reduce third-party risk. To learn more, go to vanta.com/CISO and watch their 3-minute product demo. That's vanta.com/CISO.
Yes, fresh coffee. Let's go. LinkedIn in- All right, guys, what's up? Welcome to the mid-roll. Welcome to the Mobile Studio Party, pal, where the coffee is coffee and the show is 80% of best practice. All right, good stuff, guys. Thanks so much, everybody, for being here. Thanks for sticking with us. It really warms my heart that I can do an 80% quality show from Phoenix at 5:30 in the morning and 417 people show up. Guys, much love. Totally appreciate it. You guys are the best. Welcome back to the party, Joel Belton. You were missed, sir. All right. So check it out. Guys, shout out and thanks. If you're getting value from the stream, please do me a favor. Hit that like button on YouTube. It goes a long way to help others find the stream. I don't know if we had any first timers today, but welcome to the party, pal. Also, Nicole Hewlett, I see you in chat. I sent you a DM on LinkedIn, Nicole. I don't know if you saw it or not, but there's one there. DJ BSEC has the baton. That's dope. All right, guys, really quickly, shout out to the stream sponsors again. Barricade Cyber, Panopsi, and Anti-Siphon, enabling me to bring this proof of life looking video to you every single morning. Anti-Siphon, guys, if you don't know, they do amazing things. Wild West Hack and Fest, to name one particular one that I love. But they offer amazing training at rates that are accessible to anyone. They're disrupting the traditional cybersecurity training industry. They're providing cutting-edge, high-quality education that's actionable, practical, and taught by industry experts like John Strand. John Strand, one of the few people who has his own emote in the Simply Cyber squad tray. Jesus, how epic is that? You know what? Totally warranted. John Strand is pretty dope. I love myself some John Strand. So go to antisiphontraining.com and get started taking advantage of all the amazing training opportunities. And if you're going to Wild West Hack and Fest, do say what's up, because I'll be there keynoting, high-fiving everybody, live streaming from the booth, doing the sponsor stampede. It's going to be off the chain. So definitely giddy up on that. All right. We've got the Simply Cyber Community Challenge, a little bit of a throwback graphic there. Again, the mobile studio. The mobile studio is, it's Jon Snow, right? It's a bastard child. It doesn't get all the love that the main production studio, the Buffer Osier Flow studio, gets. Guys, the Simply Cyber Community Challenge is an opportunity for you, if you want to take it, to spend 5 minutes a day and literally blow up your professional network on LinkedIn. LinkedIn is powerful for networking. I know it can be intimidating. I know it can be difficult to put yourself out there and, you know, face public scrutiny. Guys, I'm in front of 400 people every single morning getting publicly scrutinized, right? Just step into it, man. When you're uncomfortable, you're pushing boundaries and growing. What's up, Kayla Sturgeon with the super chat? Thanks, Kayla.
We just become best friends. Yep.
Yes. All right, guys. So do me a favor. DJ B-Sec's got the baton right now. He wants to pass it. We might do a mod to mod action on here. You guys got to do it in chat, though, so the squad, so the entire squad can see it. Because we're in the studio, I am going to take a hot minute and do some la-la-la-las. We have Mondays of the Simply Cyber Community Member of the Week, and I want to call out my friend, Robert Cooper. Guys, Robert Cooper right here. This guy, guess where he lives? Phoenix. Let's do some la-la-las for Robert. Yes, Robert Cooper, stud, awesome community member, and picked me up at the airport last night, even though my flight was an hour late. Robert stuck around, popped in, popped out, super loved it. Great opportunity, spent 20 minutes getting to know Robert a little bit better, his story. I wanted to shout him out. If you see Robert Cooper at a meetup, if you see Robert Cooper at a conference, give this man a high five. And Robert, if I see you, like you were driving me at midnight last night, so it wasn't a good time to have a beer with you. I didn't give you a road soda and say, let's do this. But if we get an opportunity, Robert, love to buy you a beer and say thank you. All right, guys, let's slide back into the all right, so, oh, my God, so much. B-Sec, I'll take it that you'll do the baton pass correctly. And also want to say what's up to Cyber Munchkin. You know, it's funny, Cyber Munchkin, it's been a minute since you've been here, and but I saw you at a anti-siphon event or something. I think the most offensive con that ever offensive we were talking. So welcome back to the party, Cyber Munchkin. Great to have you. All right, let's get the news going again. Oh my God, there's so many windows. Oh my God. Okay, here we go. Be cool, be cool.
Intends to add gaming to its platform.
Oh my God.
TechCrunch has learned that to keep people on the networking site longer, LinkedIn is planning on capitalizing on the online puzzle mania that made Wordle a household name by offering its members games, whose early working titles at least are Queens, Inference, and Cross Climb. LinkedIn, which is owned by Microsoft and no stranger to the games market, states the objective as being to, quote, unlock a bit of fun, deepen relationships, and hopefully spark the opportunity for conversations, end quote.
Okay. All right. So quick little notification here. This is a live look-in of Joel getting the baton passed by DJ B-Sec. Definitely a great visual. So baton pass, getting it going. Look at Team Jamaica. Usain Bolt. Look at that guy. Hold on. I'm sorry to like derail this. Look at the guy who just passes Usain Bolt the baton. He is like pumping. He's like number one fan of Usain. Look at him. Go, go. Dude, Usain Bolt was ridiculously fast. All right. I'm sorry to digress. Okay. So LinkedIn is introducing games to the platform. Absolutely not a cyber story at all. There is zero cyber in this thing. I squeezed it and not a drop of cyber came out of this story. But I don't prepare these stories, nor do I research them in advance. So I couldn't have avoided this bullet. What I will say is that, you know, the community challenge, I just went off and told you how important LinkedIn is for professional networking. So let's spend a minute talking about this. I don't know who was asking for this. Okay. But, LinkedIn as a social platform has traditionally been known as a business platform, right? Even when people post personal stories, like they lost their pet, right? I've seen this a little bit recently, like, you know, dog of 12 years, Bryson Bort's dog Shadow recently passed. He posted it. I think maybe that was on Twitter, but somebody posted their dog. Sometimes people post very personal, like family or personal health things, mental health, whatever it is. And they always like qualify the post as like, I know this is a business site, but this is important to me. So, I do appreciate that because I feel like when you're networking with people, you really should be appreciating who they are and where they're coming from, right? Like, I don't need to know what you ate for breakfast, but like, you know, if something is massive happening in your world, it's good to know because A, you can lend support, or B, you can appreciate and understand that person, right? Like, business isn't AI on AI action, right?
Shall we play a game?
It's not AI and AI action. It's not like, hello, I am business person one, you are business person two, let us commence business transactions, beep, boop, beep, right? No. It's like, hey, like, a perfect example, right? Like, Brandon Poole called me on Friday night, a couple days ago to talk about something that we were talking about earlier in the day, and he had a follow-up message, and it was like 7:30 at night, and I picked up the phone, and he's like, "Hey, what's up?" And I'm like, "Oh, I'm eating pizza with my family. What's going on?" And he's like, "No, keep going, get back." I'm like, "Dude, I can do this." He's like, "No, like, come on, like, like, spend time with your family." I'm like, "All right, cool, I appreciate that," because he knows that I work my A off, right? So like, just little things like that. So I can appreciate doing that. Now, regarding this particular story, I think Microsoft owns LinkedIn. I want to point out, next to Microsoft Windows and Microsoft Xbox Network, I think LinkedIn is the largest revenue generator for Microsoft. Okay, so like, and with these social media platforms, they want you to stay on the platform. That's why, I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but if you ever make a LinkedIn post that has a URL in the post going to off platform, that post didn't perform well. I didn't get enough impressions or views or reactions or reposts. You know why? Because LinkedIn does not like people going off the platform. You can break through that if you get enough like hype behind it, and LinkedIn will release the suppression. But they're thinking that games are going to be a little distraction. So where's my hot take, Jerry? Here. Where's my hot take, Jerry thing? Here's what I suspect is going to happen. Hot take. One, they're going to roll these games out. Two, they're going to get an initial surge like, you know, Threads got. And then they're going to die off because, like, I don't know. I personally feel like if I'm going to play a game with someone, I'm going to play like a game with someone. Like, get your 60 cards of Magic Gathering and get ready to be pissy because casually Joseph's got a mill deck, right? But like, I'm not going on LinkedIn to like play like tandem Minesweeper with you. Like, I love you, I do, right? Chris Whitlock dropped a really cool NIST CSF 2.0 Trello board. That's what I'm talking about. High five! But I'm not going to be in there and be like, "Hey, like, you want to do a Wordle while we're in here?" Like, it just, I don't know. To me, it's like it feels like a square peg round hole kind of thing, or a square peg like octagonal hole. Like, it kind of looks like it fits, and you can kind of jam it down there. But I think that this is a pilot. Whoops. This is a pilot, and I don't think it's going to be successful. But let me know what you guys think. Do you think, hold on, I'm actually going to start a poll. Games on LinkedIn, good idea. I'm kind of curious what the community feels on this, okay? Drop it. Please go ahead. Drop your thoughts on this, please.
Hackers exploit AIO HTTP bug to find vulnerable networks. A ransomware group named Shadowy Syndicate has been seen scanning for servers that are vulnerable to a directory traversal vulnerability in the AIO HTTP Python library with a CVE number of 2024-23334. AIO HTTP is an open source library built on top of Python's asynchronous IO framework, AsyncIO, to handle large amounts of concurrent HTTP requests without traditional thread-based networking. It is used by tech firms, web developers, back-end engineers, and data scientists looking to build high-performance web applications and services that aggregate data from multiple external APIs. This definition coming from Bleeping Computer. The security firm Group IB says it believes the threat group is an affiliate working with multiple ransomware operations.
Nice. Little middleware.
Former tele-
Dude, you gotta... Again, this isn't Threat Actor account... Yeah, actually, hey, really quickly, Jenny Housley with a really great observation. I love everybody's observations. Just really quickly, Jenny Housley had a thought on this LinkedIn story. You know how there's like spammy accounts and bot accounts and fake accounts and, you know, like initial infection vectors of romance scams and you know, like fraud. Now, hey, do you want to play Wordle? Like, hey, I saw you checking out my profile. Want to play Wordle? Like, it's like a new attack vector. Very interesting concept and thoughts, Jenny. I like that. Oh my God, the pain. First game, Cards Against Humanity. Okay, so hey, I love the enterprising, innovative attitude of threat actors. And, you know, Flaming Donkey is a really cool name, but Shadow Syndicate? That's what I'm talking about. Get the shirts made. Like, they're already, like, whoever their PR team is, like, way to go. You win. So, really quickly, this is one of those ones where if you're running AIO HTTP in your Python scripts, right? So now this isn't something that you can necessarily see. Well, Python's an interpreted program. So like basically if you're running GitHub, right, or some type of code repo, you should be able to scan your code bases to see if you're running this Python library. And you got to be careful though, because it's possible, like if you're, say you're importing a library that is importing AIO HTTP, you may go a couple degrees down the rabbit hole before you discover that AIO HTTP Python library is in there. So just be mindful of that. If you're running a web application, basically this is kind of like Ajax. Do you guys remember Ajax like a million years ago? This just shows you how old I am. Ajax was like the initial technology that allowed like almost dynamic websites. So just get in the Wayback Machine with me for a hot minute. And everybody with gray in their hair is going to be like, I remember. Back in the day, like you'd go to a website. Websites are like static. So like you'd go to a website and, you know, HTTP 1, like you could do like scrolling marquees and blinking lights and stuff. But that was like the length of like dynamic websites, right? It was with HTTP or Web 2 where you could actually use something called Ajax, which allowed asynchronous polling and querying of backend resources through API calls to enable the front end to appear dynamic. What does that mean? So you know, like when you're typing in Google and you're typing in like whatever, FUBAR, or does Jerry, what, you know, like, you know, I don't know, is Jerry AI? Whatever, you know how it auto completes, like, you know, people make content about this, like, what is Owen Wilson? And then like whatever the auto complete suggestions are, they answer those questions. That auto complete suggestion is done through that kind of Ajax technology. It's the website doesn't have, it hasn't loaded Google's entire database onto your browser, right? No, it's making asynchronous calls to give that dynamic look and feel. And it's, we've all come accustomed to it, okay? But there is different ways to do that, and this AIO HTTP is one of them. Now, they have a directory traversal bug, path traversal here, which means that you can basically go up on the server that's hosting the web server, right? The actual server operating system that's hosting the web server software, and traverse up the directory structure and then back down maybe another directory structure, get into the .ssh directory, drop private keys, right? Like, or you know, whatever, right? It's a problem. It's a high severity, and you want to get it fixed. I also want to point out that if you are flirting, okay? When I say flirting, I mean like, hey, how you doing, right? If you're flirting with bug bounties, web application, security vulnerability testing, looking to get a little cashish.
Great cash, homie.
Okay. Dude, I would giddy up on this right now. Like, this, if you can find, just pretend I'm pointing at the story, okay? Like, if here, let me do this. If you are a bug bounty person, go look for this vulnerability, guys. If you can find it, right? This is, I don't know if there's an exploitation out there, but there's a lot of meat on the bone as far as the story goes on how it works. An inadequate validation on the follow sim links set to true for static routes. There you go. So go ahead and put a static route in. If you can figure out, if you can like enumerate the server and figure out what operating system it runs, you know if it's a like a Linux server that there is a /home/root/ you know .ssh, or there's a /bin/ bash binary that you can use for a reverse shell call or whatever, right? Like this is what I'm saying. So get up on that and check it out. Oh, thank you. There is a proof of concept exploit already out, further lowering the barrier to entry. No. So you can literally just go, like, the Threat Actor Academy, dude. You can literally just go here. You can see evilserver.py. You can download this. The problem is here, this is actually just a vulnerable instance of the server. This is not the exploit. I mean, if I had to guess, right? This is a vulnerable exploit of the server, not the, this code right here is a vulnerable server, not an exploit code of the server. So this is actually being reported incorrectly. When it says a proof of concept exploit exists, that doesn't, that this code isn't that. Although it does say that there's a video showing the exploitation, I could certainly see that. Oh, actually, the the POC is in the actual Twitter post. Excuse me. So you just pass this, and Bob's your uncle. There you go.
Com manager admits to doing SIM swaps. The former IT manager of a New Jersey-based mobile telecommunications store, Jonathan Katz, says he, quote, abused his managerial position and highly privileged account to overcome security measures and perform unauthorized number ports, end quote. He has...
Hey, I'm sorry really quickly. This story is interesting, but I'm seeing right now in chat that Zach Chope, first day at the help desk. Zach, I know you're a little nervous. That's uncomfortable. But that's good. That means you're growing. That means you're doing these things. Do I have a wrecking ball in here? Yes. I came in like a wrecking ball. Yes, sir, Zach Choke. You go ahead and kill it, man. Straight crush it. Glum Hippo with the 207 multi-status. Thanks for going the extra mile, Dr. Jerry. My pleasure. I genuinely...
Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
Hell yeah. And guys, guess what? I told Robert Cooper this last night, too. Like, it would be such a poser move of me to be on the West Coast and be like, oh, it's too early. I can't do that. When people like Jesse Johnson, Nick Barker, Basecase, so many, Boston Rob, like so many of them on the West Coast and Pacific time zone get up for the show. So let's go. Games on LinkedIn, a good idea. The poll is closing right now. No. Overwhelmingly, no. The Simply Cyber community has spoken. All right, let's keep finishing the story here.
He did guilty to conspiracy charges for accepting money to perform unauthorized SIM swaps. In this case, Katz's actions appear to have circumvented measures implemented by many telecom providers to prevent number porting without the involvement or authorization of the owner.
Yeah, no shit. Shoot.
Hackers deliver...
Sorry. Wow. Sorry, Kennedy. Apparently, Left Coast Jerry is a pirate with my swearing over here. Okay, so here's the deal. You can have the best controls in place, right? Technical controls that stop everything. But if you have humans in the workflow that can circumvent, bypass, approve, move, like all these things, then you've got exposure. You've got a gap. I'm really, really pumped that this manager is being brought to justice. What can we do this?
Regulators! Mount up. It was a...
Yes, sir. This guy pled guilty to conspiracy charges for accepting money. Here's the deal. I almost implore you, right? This is a more big brain, 1000 IQ, advanced level thing. But check it out. When you work in retail, okay, forever, there have been controls in place to manage financial fraud, right? Like taking money out of the till, right? There's a certain amount of money goes in. There's a receipt that keeps track of all the money going into the till. At the end of the day, you count the money in the till. It should match the receipt. If it doesn't, then you probably stole some money or you don't know how to count. Same thing with management, right? Like management does something and there's a record of it that they're doing it. You don't get carte blanche forever, like, you know, super access because you need a forensic audit record to have someone watch the watcher, right? So what I'm saying here is this particular instance, oh my God, this instant right here, this is one where who knows how long this telecom manager got away with doing SIM swaps before they got caught. How many people got victimized? How many people lost their money? Now, this person's going to jail. Awesome. But are the wrecked lives going to be made whole? Probably not, right? And I know it sounds like, oh, you know, Jerry, you're a little like hyperbolic. No. If someone's doing a SIM swap, right, that means that they are absolutely doing it to commit fraud and likely to bypass multi-factor authentication, which means they're going to log into your system and do something, empty your money, perpetrate greater fraud, whatever. Okay, so people's lives got dorked up because of this, and this guy is going to jail. But again, so here's the thing. The guy was getting $1,000 a rip for a SIM swap, which means, right, the easy calculus here is that the criminal was making far more than $1,000 per victim, right? Unless you're like the biggest bonehead criminal on the planet, you're not spending $1,000 to make $500. That would be dumb. So whatever they're doing, they're making lots more than $1,000. You picking up what I'm putting down? But if a telecom manager is making $80,000 a year and you give them $1,000 a SIM swap and they do more than 80, right? Let's say they do one a day. Within 2 months, they've almost made their entire salary for the year, right? That is a huge motivator.
Great cash, homie.
Okay, so you've got to be careful. Here's the thing. I know it's always really awkward to point at employees like, oh, we're all a family here, but I'm going to need to fact check you and make sure you're not committing fraud, right? It introduces uneasiness to the workforce. So people are unlikely to do it. With these things, you just need to have technical controls in place that are forensically sound and normalize that, hey, like we trust everybody here. These are the controls we have to put in place in case there's ever a bad actor. We're not saying it's you, but in case there's ever a bad actor. The final thing I'll say on this, you cannot think of people as good or bad, okay? You can't be like, oh, if we hire a really seedy character, they're the ones who are going to commit fraud. This person right here, right, this person committing this crime for $1,000 a rip, maybe they go to church every Sunday, but maybe their mother got really sick and the medicine's wicked expensive. Maybe their kids got an opioid problem and they're terrified about it, but they don't know what to do besides enable it. Maybe they have a gambling problem and they made a huge bet on Bitcoin and they lost their shirt and they're terrified to tell their spouse that they're going to lose their house. People put themselves in weird situations all the time, and sometimes it's not because they're a bad person, it's just because they made a bad choice. I'm not justifying this person committing these SIM swapping crimes or abetting them. But my point is, you can't always just point at someone and go, oh, that guy's twisting his mustache. He's definitely a bad guy. Because humans, when pushed into a corner, will make extreme decisions sometimes because there's no other option, and that's what they see they have to do, all right?
Rise Pro Info Stealer through cracked GitHub software.
Yeah, get cracked.
According to German security company G-Data, the campaign, codenamed GitGub, included 17 repositories associated with 11 different accounts. They stated, quote, green and red circles are commonly used on GitHub to display the status of automatic builds. GitGub threat actors added 4 green Unicode circles to their readme.md that pretended to display a status alongside a current date and provide a sense of legitimacy and recency, end quote. The repositories in question have since been taken down.
Dude.
Managing risk.
Dude, threat actors are so smart sometimes. Oh, so smart. This is a social engineering attack. I know it's in the GitHub code repos, so you might think it's like super technical. But no, I mean, it is a technical-ish, but it is preying on social engineering. You see these green dots right here? When people look at them quick, they're like, oh, that's auto builds, like good to go. They literally, like, it's like adding an emote. Can I do this with one hand? Like green, like, look at this right here. Look at it. Hold on. Status. Doink. Work. Okay, look at this. Just look at right there in chat. My post is GitHub automated build approved. Right? That's all they did. They basically preyed on people moving quick and just being like, oh, this is legit. Because people want to move fast. Humans are used to pattern recognition and making decisions, kind of complicated decisions in implicit ways. So people seeing this are like, oh, it's good to go. Like, it introduces a social proof or trust that this is legit and that you can move forward with it. And who knows how many, again, this is a crime where the threat actors are spraying and praying. They don't know who's going to download this. They're trying to prey on developers who fall for it. It is an info stealer malware, which are always really juicy. Info stealer will dump, you know, all the details on your machine, domain you're part of, your tokens, your cookies, your passwords. Don't save your password in a browser because that'll get dumped too. All sorts of bits of juicy stuff and then upload it somewhere. So this is actually a pretty clever attack. They said that they've pulled down the ones that they've discovered, which I appreciate, but you can look at all these repos that had it. Is there an infographic? There really should be an infographic on here. What a perfect opportunity for an infographic, and they totally whiffed on it. Anyways, long story short, you get the info stealer on there, and then all of a sudden, well, you basically go to a link, you pull down something, you think it's a legit artifact, and then you're installing malware, and then your info stealer situation comes online. All right, what are we doing here? 9:06, running a little bit over. I did have issues with the stream. I think that's going to do it for the, let's see. All right, y'all. Holla, holla, holla. It is Monday, so no stream later today, but I just want to remind everybody a couple things. On Simply Cyber, I launched over the weekend Simply Cyber Con YouTube channel. Oh my God, can I do this with one hand? YouTube, Simply CyberCon. I've been trying to like clean up everything. We're in like a spring cleaning mode over here. You could see here on the channel, there's now Simply CyberCon YouTube channel. I'm subscribed. If you want to be one of the first like 20 subscribers, head over there right now. We got 46 subscribers. Basically, all of Simply Cyber 23, Simply CyberCon 23, will be posted under this channel. I've pulled them down off of the Simply Cyber main channel, and to not overwhelm the YouTube algorithm, I've auto-configured it to post one video a day. So by April 12th, we'll have the entire conference lineup, track one and track two. So please go support the channel. The Simply CyberCon is going to be an ongoing effort. So we decided to, hold on one second, I'm not caught up with mod chat. Simply CyberCon is going to continue to get bigger and bigger and better. We're going to have potentially in-person conference 2025, although some people are pushing for 24. We could do a hybrid in 25. There's going to be massive oodles of content, and I want you to be able to find it quickly. So that's what's up. All right, guys. If you got to go because it's time to go to work, I bid you farewell. I thank you very much for being here. I appreciate you and your support for understanding the 80% of the show on the road. I'm Jerry from Simply Cyber. If you want to hang, we will be doing jawjacking. Just give me a hot second, and we will get into it. I don't even know if the jawjacking overlays are inside of this. I just realized I'm running the Casually Joseph backup pro. Jesus. All right, guys. Hey, be good. Consider yourself updated on the top cyber news stories of the day. It's March 18th, 2024, episode number 580. Be good. I'm Jerry. Your chat. Until next time, stay secure. This looks terrible. What are we doing here? Hold on. Oh my God, bro. One second, y'all. Can we, this might not work. Reset transform? No, that's not good. All right, hold on one second. We need that meme. F it, we're gonna do it live. Hold on one second. Oh my God, bro. I'm coming. Hold on. Oh. Okay. Oh my God. One second. All right. There we go. Welcome to the party, pal. Let me go full. Oops. Can we go a little bit bigger? More Jerry. Ah, there we go. Cool. All right, everybody, welcome to jawjacking. It's an abbreviated version. I just want to point out, I hung a Simply Cyber flag up. You guys see it? Look at that. Shout out to Basecase. I hung this flag up. This AI camera is, there we go. Yes. Yes, sir. All right, guys, what's up? Welcome to jawjacking. This is your proof of life video. Like, this is what bad lighting looks like. I hope everybody had a great daily cyber threat brief. Let me move this screen over here. Let me do this. Taekwon Gong passed the Pen Test Plus on Friday. Yes, sir. Way to go, Taekwon Gong. Let me get a... yeah, sorry. I'll do manual sound effects for that one. All right. Where's chat? Where's mod chat? There we go. What's up, everybody? Jerry guy forgot the glasses. Yeah, Emilio. You know what? I actually thought about packing them, but I packed the entire studio in one backpack, and it's very heavy, and I was afraid that I'd break the glasses. Yes. So I will tell you what, Simply Cyber Community, I promise you, after the show ends, after I go get breakfast, after I go get the biggest cup of coffee I can find, I will be setting up the jawjacking overlay for tomorrow's show. Although, Eric Taylor's going to do jawjacking tomorrow, I assume, so maybe I don't need to. You know how much I like coffee? That coffee tasted like it had soap in it. And I tasted it on the first sip, and I still just finished it. Where can you get a Simply Cyber flag, Cybertron? Good question. These are actually a limited run. Base Case in 2021 made five of them. He's got one, and he sent me four. And when I moved into the studio, I misplaced them, and I'm looking for them. I'm actually sending Toasty Pops one. Cybertron, I can get with Base Case and find out. I can also potentially send you one since you're expressing interest. Chris Whitlock, Simply Cyber launched on December 23rd, 2019. Maybe every year on that day you do a less fancy stream to mimic the OG content. Yeah, we could do that. I will tell everybody that on April 1st, April Fool's Day, that's a daily cyber threat brief you will not want to miss. We have a tradition. If you've been in here a long time, if you're a blue badge, you'll remember what we did last New Year's, April Fool's Day. I don't want to ruin it for anybody, but trust me, it's an episode you're going to... Good thing that coffee was empty. It's an episode you're not going to want to miss. Believe me, it's a lot of fun, that episode. No problem, Cybertron. Keith Sloan saying, Jerry, I've been in IT for 18 years now working for a telecom provider. I recently been put into the IR role. Very cool. What resources should I start learning for this new gig? Oh, boy. Well, Keith, you've been in IT for a very long time, so a lot of these things are going to be familiar. What I would say, Keith, is actually, here, let me... Okay, so a couple things. One, you should understand the overall workflow of incident response, Keith, okay? And this goes for everybody. Let me share this with you. This is, like, so hot right now. Hold on one second. This will be worth it. Trust me. Keith, stay with me. Everybody, stay with me. Okay, there's that, and then desktop, screen two. Okay, hold on. This will be worth it, believe me. Hold on one second. All right, Keith, this is what's up, dude, okay? NIST CSF 2.0. I know I just did a bit video on it, but guys, I'm telling you, this freaking, what they did to the respond and recover is like next level epic. Come on. You're going to love this once I drop this. Oh my God. They didn't make their freaking catalog very easy to use, I might add. Is this it right here? There's I want you to. Is this it? I want you to see this because it's. I think this is the page. It just hasn't loaded yet. There it is. I knew it. That's another tricky thing with this website. Like, it doesn't load immediately. Go back to your Ajax example I gave you. But anyways, Keith Sloan, I'm going to drop this in chat, okay? Look at this. I'm giving you strategic and tactical things, Keith. And really, anybody out there who wants to work in SOC or IR, differ. And Casually Joseph and Eric Taylor, if you're in chat, definitely comment. Really, anyone comment if you have info, but... How come I'm typing at Keith Sloan and he's not coming up, like he's not even here? I'm doing this. Keith, are you even here, bro? So here's the NIST Cybersecurity Framework 2.0. But look, I want to point your attention to this right here, okay? Incident management, okay? Respond to detected cybersecurity incidents are managed. And you can see for each one, ready? Coordination, it's triaged, it's validated, it's categorized, it's escalated, and it's recovered. And then you go into incident analysis, and you can see, hold on, that's not the right one. Incident mitigation, rs.mi, that's the one I want you to look at, okay? Incidents are contained, incidents are eradicated. Like, these are the workflows around incident response. Like they basically plainly spell exactly what incident response is and how to do it, okay? So the first thing you should understand is the overall strategic approach to incident response so you can coordinate and communicate with other people. Then, if you're going to get into the actual tactical tooling of incident response, you definitely want to be able to, you really need like an EDR agent or some quality EDR tool, and then understand how to tune it, and most importantly, how to quarantine a box, right? Because one of the first things you want to do is basically get your arms around a compromised asset or a collection of assets to limit the bad that's going to happen. And then you can get into other things like, you know, threat hunting and but with incident response specifically, you definitely want to understand, like, you want to detect as soon as possible or go threat hunting and discover. And then you want to be able to, when you discover bad and you validate that it is in fact bad, that you can contain it. So hopefully that works. And Keith Sloan, thank you, Keith. I'm glad you're seeing it. Hopefully that answers your question and gets after it a little bit. All right, what other questions we got? And if that wasn't really quickly, guys, if that wasn't a satisfactory answer to Keith Sloan's question, please let me know in chat and I'll go deeper, or we can data mine through people's comments. A lot of people have done IR. I will tell you another thing, Keith Sloan, and this is me pulling from my experience, right? So if you're getting hired as an IR firm and you're coming in, that's different than if you're like working at a business and you're expected to do IR. In my practice, right, like where I'm the GRC CISO guy, but also it's a small team, so I'm doing IR type stuff. A lot of times when you discover bad, right, like you contain it, you do a quick look around your environment to see if other assets are compromised with the same thing, and then you wipe the asset and move on. You're not doing like the reality of like, ooh, I'm going to decompile this binary and see what's up. Ooh, I'm going to follow these breadcrumbs and see where it leads. Ooh, I'm going to go investigate this, C2 infrastructure. None of that's working. Nobody's got time for that. By the time you're done wiping Carl's machine, like another ticket's come in, or someone's complaining from finance and accounting that they're not getting emails from a vendor. Like, the reality is you don't have time to do the fun stuff. I mean, I shouldn't put it that way, because IR is fun, GRC is fun, but like the fun stuff of like solving puzzles and looking through the deobfuscate, like say you find an asset that's compromised and there's like a persistence mechanism, it's like a web shell or something like that. You can like dump out or cat the contents of a PHP file or whatever, but if it's obfuscated, right, you're not going to really have time to like pull out the base64, throw it up in a thing, decode it, look at it, understand. No, you're basically looking for other bad in your environment until you get a level of confidence that it's not any more bad in there. And then you move on to the next ticket, all right? So that's kind of a sad reality. SSD saying, how is your laptop setup holding up since you are using it, I assume? Yeah, no, this laptop's awesome. I bought a gaming laptop in order to handle the amount of raw power that Simply Cyber demands. Ryan Pearson says, the Differ interview Jerry did drop like a million awesome resources to prep for IR. Oh, her name was Jessica Hyde, Ryan Pearson, and Ryan is 100% right. This, hold on. See, I've only got one hand. I don't have a mic stand. This resource right here is pretty much the single greatest digital forensics incident response video on the internet. that might be hyperbolic. Someone might want to fact check me on that. But this woman right here, Jessica Hyde, she is a amazing differ professional. She's also a great human, but she is an amazing, like when drops bad, like she's got a red phone in her office, right? Like she's got a red phone that, you know, only certain people can pick up and call her on. If you're picking up what I'm putting down, right? If you smell what I'm stepping in. She dropped like a million resources on this stream. I'm going to drop this in chat right now. Jessica Hyde, ladies and gentlemen. And thank you, Ryan Pearson, for reminding me. Great person. We'll have to have her back on. She dropped knowledge bombs like it was going out of style. She does freaking rock space tacos. Agreed. Oh, hey, we have a Josh Mason, exclamation point differ. Are you thinking we should... we should have a link to that. By the way, classic Simply Cyber West Coast standard. Coming up with the sunrise. Yes. By the way, can I just give a quick shout out? Oh, thanks, Keith Sloan, checking out that content. Can I just give a shout out to the mods? Some either compromised account or threat actor, whoever, some jackwagon jumped on the Simply Cyber Discord server and dropped a link to like an OnlyFans Discord, which was obviously some type of fraudulent thing. I was waiting to take off last night on a plane, and I just, you know, hit the mods up really quickly and asked for help. And dude, team, can I just tell you, the mods, they came like a bat out of hell. I'm sorry, Kennedy, you might have to learn that word today. They came with the fury. And this dude got bounced in like 10 seconds, completely cleansed the server. So just shout out, as always, I there's a reason there's a mod love emote. I hope you guys as a community appreciate and realize just the amount of effort and selflessness that the mods, all of them, contribute. I've said it before, that Simply Cyber wouldn't be what it is without all of you, and it sure wouldn't be what it is without the mods. Casually Joseph got on right before I went live. That's why I was a few minutes late, because all this other tech and I don't know what's going on. And if I went live and you couldn't hear me or you couldn't hear the stories, the show would suck, right? Love the mods. All right. Oh, thank you, BSec. What does it bring up? The Jessica Hyde interview. Awesome. Dude, these Nightbot commands are dope. All right, what do we got? What else is going on? Yeah, the mods are so cool. I'm very, very, you know, another thing about the mods that I love how organic the mods have grown and you know, taken on and everything like that. It's just, it's special. Like, Simply Cyber is special. And I'm not just saying that because, like, I've been part of it for inception, but, you know, it's just, it's so cool. I love this community. All right. What are the questions? Can I help anyone? Jim Lunn's in the house. What's up, Jim Lunn? Love myself some Jim Lunn. Where's Jim Lunn? Can we get a wow? Yes, Jim Lunn. All right. I watched Equalizer 3 on the plane last night. Not bad. Not bad. I feel like it was kind of like a cash grab for Denzel. Didn't really make a lot of sense, but if you're looking for a turn your brain off action movie, it's pretty good. Peter Lee landed a job. Oh, yep. Yes, Peter Lee dropping hammers. Love it, love it, love it. Will I do resume reviews? Jamin 19920. Yeah, we could work that in. Resume reviews are always really, really good content, frankly. Like, people love resume reviews, resume roasting. I don't know when we would do that, honestly. We did, if you don't know, on Friday last week, we did do a Discord AMA event, which was phenomenal. I posted on LinkedIn, and I pinged everyone on the Discord server, so you probably have already seen it. But We're going to do every first Friday of the month. We're going to do bingo during the daily cyber threat brief, and we're going to do a Discord AMA event, which is like a mentoring thing. I do want to say shout out to Josh Mason, Casually Joseph, DJ BSEC, who like literally it started at 2. It was going to be like 30 minutes, maybe a little spillover, 45 minutes, 2 p.m. Eastern time. And I had a meeting at 3, and I left, and DJ BSEC and Josh and Casually Joseph continued. My meeting ended at 4:20. Don't get too excited, people. And I came back, and the mentoring was still going on. It was like handoffs, and you know, it was really, really cool. So we're definitely going to do it again. And I could even envision a longer, you know, multi-hour mentorship thing where people like, you know, Josh or whoever, right? People who have knowledge to share and give could kind of take slots and you know, like Josh Mason from 2 to 2:30, BSEC from 2:30 to 3, like kind of like schedule it so we can deliver massive value. Anyways, long story short, I could see resume reviews being done there. In the interim, whoever asked for the resume review, I can't see it in chat right now, but whoever asked for the resume review, I have a video for that, that you can have ChatGPT crush a resume review and give you like tactical feedback, things to fix, all those things. So Kimberly can fix it, enjoyed the AMA, so did I, it was awesome. Josh Mason's down, I love it. Where are you in Phoenix? Oh, so I'm here for a speaking engagement. One thing that you guys may or may not know, one of the things that I don't promote this, right? So I don't have it on like my business card, but I will, organizations will hire me, right? So this is a paid gig. I'm here, this is work, right? Organizations will hire me to come in and present to their stakeholders in a private, and then I have a dinner tonight that I'm going to be meeting with all the stakeholders, and then tomorrow I have a presentation at 9 a.m. To all the stakeholders to basically, you guys would, I'm this sounds, I hopefully this doesn't sound arrogant, but like I think that this talk is awesome. It's basically everything you need to know in order to execute a cyber gap analysis on little to no budget. So any size organization can straight crush a gap analysis and understand where their actual residual risk is. I'm pretty excited. It's a brand new talk. It's a unique talk, one I have never given. I made it bespoke for them. What did you think of the Marvels? Oh, by the way, for today, just so people know, after this, I'm going to go get breakfast. I brought my running gear. I'm going to go find a sick 5-mile run. I'm going to put some miles on my feet, get a little sweaty in, and then I'm going to do some work. I don't have to do anything technically for work until tonight at the dinner. So I'll be doing, you know, Simply Cyber stuff, basically. I didn't see the Marvels. I can't comment on that. I heard it got panned though. Would you consider paid mentorship? Ross said. So Ross, I get asked this question all the time. I've done a little bit of paid mentorship. I don't know. Like Simply Cyber to me is like an opportunity for me to mentor at scale, where I can help lots and lots of people, but I'm not constrained to the time allocation for it. When I do individual one-on-one mentorship, I just don't do it very often, right? That's why I have these like AMAs every single 9 and 9:30. So Ross, I don't know. Probably not. I love running. We got a live look in of Kimberly Can Fix It running, just so everybody can see it. Since she's self-identified. Do we have Nelson? Where's Nelson? I don't have it. There we go. All right. We're at 9:30, but I did run over on the show, so I feel like I owe everybody a little bit more jaw-jacking, so if you guys are cool with that. Oh, my God, Brian Mulder. I'm so much real coffee. I hope to God I get real coffee. Chris Frazier's in the house. Chris, what's up, Chris? It's good to see you. Dude, I'm super pumped, guys. Like, I worked my ass off. Sorry, Kennedy. I worked so hard for Cyber 101, and it, like, it consumed me, okay? And now I'm, like, super pumped. I'm working on more stuff now, but, like, it was very important for me to be able to, like, start doing some cleanup, right? And getting, like, the Simply CyberCon channel up and moving those videos off. We're getting the logo and the brand cohesive across all the properties. Like, I've been showing you guys periodically, like, the new logo and the new logo across the different stuff. If you're still here, actually, maybe you would, folks be interested in seeing the new stuff? How many people we got here? 275 of you? That's pretty hardcore. Here, let me, give me a second and I'll pull it up. I have to pull up my personal email address, so I'd rather not Charles Finfrock myself. Charles one time put my put my real email on screen. Could have avoided that. Could have done without that. Okay, so check this out. I don't know if you guys will like this, but K-cups are terrible. Okay, so here's the Simply Cyber Media Group, right? So remember, if you guys didn't know, how do I go to my channel, view your channel, right? So my channel, you could see Simply Cyber Media Group. This is where these channels, so the cafe, the con, mine, Cyberstart is just going to show up here. So this is kind of like the idea of the media group, okay? So that's what this is. These are two different options, but I'm just showing you. I think we decided on option A, frankly. Then there's Simply Cyber Live, our Thursday long form one. I like this one on the top. Then we've got Simply Cyber Academy, the school. Okay. Then we've got Jawjacking, getting its own graphic. Yes, Jawjacking. You've been promoted, Jawjacking. And look at this daily cyber threat briefing graphic. This is so tight. Ugh. So tight. I'll tell you what, if they use K-cups here at the hotel, I'm going to Uber to a Starbucks. And then finally, Simply CyberCon. Definitely got to get some love for Simply CyberCon. The point is, guys, you may notice that there's a cohesive look across all these different graphics, because I want you and I want everyone to be able to see and immediately know that this is associated with us and what we're doing here. So hopefully you enjoy that little behind-the-scenes sneak preview for those who stuck around for Jawjacking. The Real Bilbo says, thanks. Oh, there's a great running trail along the Tempe Lake as well. Plenty of parking. Oh, thanks, Real Bilbo. I don't know if, I don't know where I am. I mean, I'm in Sarasota, but I don't know. I don't have a car. Robert Cooper was generous enough to pick me up at the airport, but I don't have wheels. I just have feet. Feet don't fail me now. Is Marcus Kyler in here? I feel like Marcus Kyler is like my 90s hip-hop buddy. Marcus is not in here. I don't see him. It's too bad. I had a Jurassic 5 reference earlier in the Daily Cyber Threat Brief that I thought was pretty good. I got some votes in chat. What are the votes? Oh, I see people are giving me suggestions for good coffee. Thank you. Got to bounce. Nicole's out of here. Be excellent. Thanks for the safe travels, Nicole. I appreciate that. Nicole gets a sound effect. You don't owe us. You're given so much. Oh, Brian Mulder, I appreciate that. But I serve the Simply Cyber community. That's what we're doing here. Let's see. K-cups are terrible. Yes, they are. I mean, you know what, dude? I'll tell you what, though. Just like the Simply Cyber Mobile Studio was like 80%, I will drink a K-cup if I don't have anything else, right? I'm not gonna push my nose up to K-cups. Like, if I need coffee, all right? But if I'm given a choice, if I can walk up to a K-cup or I can build a French press, I'm going French press all day, every day. Ross likes the branding refresh. Thanks, Ross. I love it. No, I'm in Sarasota. Oh, Jess Bishop with a life hack. I like it. Forget Starbucks. Find a Dunkin'. Unfortunately, I believe you're out of Tim Horton range. Thank you. Hey, Rex. No, I appreciate that. I've kind of gotten off of Dunkin's iced coffee's fine, but I don't like Dunkin's hot coffee. I grew up in New England, so like I was like basically force-fed Dunks. More of a honeydew guy now, though. Thanks, Ann. Oh, I have an update for if you are in the Cybersecurity 101 course, stay tuned. I will be reaching out to all of you. It looks like the TryHackMe platform, and you could share this with a friend if you know, the TryHackMe platform, in order to use the labs, I've discovered, tricky TryHackMe, you need premium subscription. And I don't think it's fair that I charge $500 and then ask the student to get a premium subscription. So I'm going to buy 6 months of premium subscription for every student, which is not free. But and then I'm gonna hand them out to the students who are currently enrolled in the program. So if you've been frustrated with the labs, just know that I've been working diligently to discover how to fix the labs. I mean, the labs work. It just the access is jacked up. So I've discovered that. And I'm also working with a company that is works with colleges to build private network infrastructures. And we're in conversations right now. It's turned into like a financial contract thing with like what percentage of each student tuition do they get. But it'll be a more reliable network environment if I end up going that way. And I can pick up the phone and call an engineer and get something resolved instead of this less than pleasant experience I've had with TryHackMe trying to get this thing resolved. So they don't require premium, Josh Mason, but you cannot connect to the like the Ubuntu server. Like when you launch the attack box and then you start the machine, students are unable to SSH to the machine. I had sent this to you in DMs. I don't know who Ben is, BSEC. So I've been talking to the community manager, who is like a new hire that they have, that I'm going to be doing like community things like Advent of Cyber, but they're also starting like a new series. And I'm going to be one of the first people involved with that. And then I've been talking to a sales guy who's been, I don't know. It's like he doesn't want to make a sale. Like I've offered, I told him that I literally, it's going to cost me $2,000, $2,100 to buy the premium licenses I need for the existing students in the school. And I messaged the sales guy and I'm like, listen, I need licenses. I'll send, like, give me a PO for $2,000, 25 licenses to start. And he like hasn't replied yet. Like, I don't know how to make a sales guy's job easier. Would he try to talk a bag? Let's see. Yeah, BSEC, if you have like a person. Oh, Ben's the CEO. Yeah, I mean, if Neil can help me out. I know TryHackMe went Pitbull, went worldwide, went bananas, but it's been really frustrating. It's been really frustrating. Like, obviously, to the point where I'm talking to another company about migrating the whole freaking platform, which, by the way, can I just point out, if I migrate the whole platform, I have to reshoot all of the lab videos, which I thought I was done with. All right. Well, if Neil wants to do that, I mean, well, I'll talk to Neil and see if he wants to do that. I don't want to get into it about Neil. Let's see. You the man. Oh, thanks, Jason. That's nice. Any suggestions about how to update my resume from a nurse who's wanting to transition careers to cybersecurity GRC? Patrilux asks. Yeah, Patrilux, for sure. First of all, I know you probably did a ton of work and a ton of things in the clinical facing space as a nurse. I would say, like, definitely change your resume to be a cybersecurity first type resume. A lot of people are very proud of the work that they've done and that want that to be kind of their identity, but it doesn't help if like everything's about being a nurse on your resume. So what I would say is definitely lean into that ability to speak, especially if you're going to do GRC, Patrilux, like the ability to speak to the clinical facing staff. Obviously, you should totally lean into getting a job in healthcare. You could talk about HIPAA, but the reality is people who work in InfoSec in healthcare, HIPAA's like, ugh, like you're not even like, HIPAA's a thing, but not, that's not the long tent in the pole, the long pole in the tent. HIPAA is there, but it's not a priority, frankly. I mean, it's important. No one's going to say it's not important, but it's not what we're doing on the front lines day in and day out. We're talking to the business. There's so much freaking like special tech, dedicated systems, lab machines, vendors bringing in all sorts of like crap. You've got a vendor who's like trying to offload Windows 7 machines, and the doc, they're like, oh, I'll give you $50,000 off this machine if you buy. And they're like, does it do the same thing as the new machine? They're like, yeah, it's identical, just the operating system's different. And the doctor's like, makes no difference to me, let's go. So those are the real things. I would focus on your understanding of HIPAA. I'd understand your ability to speak to the business and convey those other things. Patrilux, I'd lean into that. Oh my God, I'm really hungry. I think I'm gonna boogie in a second, y'all. Scottsdale, did I say Sarasota? Yeah, I'm in Scottsdale, just outside Phoenix. Best cappuccino ever was at a pool hall. Yeah, you can't knock some of these like little hole-in-the-wall hidden gems. Yeah. What are you guys talking about? Why is the stream so rough? Yeah. I landed at midnight local time, or like 11:30 local time. Robert Cooper grabbed me, dumped me off at this hotel. I checked in. I got the entire studio set up. It was probably 1 a.m. by the time I went to bed, and then I got up at 4. And by got up at 4 a.m., I really got up at like 3, 3:15, 3:30, 3:45, 3:50, and then was awake when my alarm went off at 4 because I was terrified of oversleeping and missing the stream and letting you all down. And I am not into letting people down. All right. All right, Brian. Thank you. Oh, DJ BSEC. Thank you. Patrilux. BSEC dropped a link here. Paramedic to cyber video. I have a whole list of videos on the channel on pivoting into cybersecurity. So, all right, guys, it's 9:44 on Monday, March 18th, 2024. This was episode number 500 and something. I don't even know. I've got so many windows, so little real estate. Episode 580 of Simply Cyber Daily Cyber Threat Brief. I'll be back tomorrow. Same bat channel, same bat time, delivering hot takes in the mobile studio. Oh yeah, I'll tell you where I am. I'm in Sarasota, like off Gainey Street or whatever. Oh, look at my wife. I love Mrs. Osher. She sent me a DM, says have a great show. Miss my family. I'm willing to travel for work, but really, I'm here for the amount of time I need to be and then get back to my family. Yeah, Wild West Hacker Fest is in South Dakota. I'm in Arizona for a speaking engagement. All right, guys, it's been really good. Tomorrow, you'll get to see me in my my business Jerry look. I'll have a blazer on. I'll have a button-down shirt. I'll look really professional and polished. Can I just share something else that's kind of funny? One time I ate a bagel on stream, and I don't get a lot of negative comments, but like when I ate that bagel, people were pissed in the comments how unprofessional and inappropriate it was for me to eat a bagel. I was starving. I was hungry. The stream had to go. Can I also just I also want to just share another thing with everybody before I get out of here. You may notice on Simply Cyber Channel and Instagram and Twitter, TikTok. I got a TikTok. and LinkedIn on the Simply Cyber Channel. I've scheduled like a ton of shorts to come out. So it's that time of year where I make a run at doing shorts and then after a month realize that it's not working. But we're in that window right now. So go get after that if you're interested in the shorts. I've already had a lot of people. The shorts must get pushed to like anyone and everyone because like there's a lot of trolly comments. It's kind of surprising how many trolly comments there are, or not trolly, but like negative comments there are in the shorts comments. All right, guys, I'm going to go get some breakfast. I hope everybody's well. Have a great day, everyone. 9:47 a.m. on the Eastern Seaboard. It is 6:40 a.m. on the, Pacific Zone. I'm Jerry from Simply Cyber. I really appreciate all of you. Be good to everybody. Take care. I'll see you tomorrow. Same time. Be well. Take care. See you in the next one. Thank you. If you enjoyed that content, keep the cybersecurity train going by connecting with the other Simply Cyber community resources. We have the Discord server that's lively and always keeps the conversation going. You can connect with me directly on LinkedIn. And also every single weekday morning on the Simply Cyber channel, we're doing live daily cyber threat briefings, 8 a.m. Eastern time, as well as Thursday at 4:30 p.m. We're doing live stream interviews with industry experts, and we produce videos that we push out every Wednesday morning. I'm Jerry from Simply Cyber. I hope you enjoyed the content, and we'll see you in the next one.